The Supreme Court this week allowed the Trump administration to shut the census down early. This is another piece of evidence of the drift of the court and their complicity in voter suppression, because it will likely change the makeup of Congress, moving more members to what appear to be red states at this juncture than blue states. These are decisions that are based upon the court's view of politics, not the law. On the Canadian front, some commentators are indicating that the K-shaped recovery that we are now in creates opportunities for Canadian businesses. They are highlighting food, agriculture, technology, health, and e-commerce as areas of the Canadian economy that can benefit from this K recovery in the U.S. A K recovery is defined as one where different parts of the economy come back at different speeds and magnitude. Canada is also viewed globally as being reliable in trade relations, rule of law, cultural openness, with high product safety standards, while the U.S. is viewed as the polar opposite. There is a particular emphasis on food production due to the COVID crisis, continuing likely well into 2021, which should create substantial opportunities for the export of ag products by Canadians. Israel is back in the news as tens of thousands of protesters assail Prime Minister Netanyahu for his handling of the COVID crisis as the result of reopening too quickly. The infection rate has soared, the economy is in very poor shape, and of course he is on trial for fraud, breach of trust, and accepting bribes arising out of a series of scandals. Will this lead to yet another election? Likely. Will Mr. Netanyahu resign? Probably not. Mr. Netanyahu, in describing the protest, refers to them as leftists and anarchists. He and Mr. Trump must share the same script. President Trump, early this week, again changed direction after having switched several times with regard to a new stimulus package. He advanced a very small package, which would have simply moved a few $100 million from the funds directed towards small business. But that seems unlikely to go anywhere, as the Democrats will not pass another bill without securing funding for a number of other issues, including hospitals, state and local governments, extended unemployment insurance, etc. Then POTUS abruptly increased his offer, getting closer to the Democratic proposal. What is really confusing and confounding about this is that Chairman Powell, who actually knows something about the economy as compared to Mr. Trump and Mr. Mnuchin, is strongly urging a significant stimulus package, and they are ignoring him. It is difficult to understand how Mr. Mnuchin and Mr. Trump, and it appears Mr. Meadows, the president's chief of staff, can argue against Powell given his credentials. Then again, they seem to ignore anyone who has serious credentials on virtually every subject. Think COVID. A number of commentators are indicating that the sustained strength of the stock market, albeit somewhat volatile, is the result of Wall Street's perception that there is a greater likelihood of a clear outcome on Election Day than previously existed. Wall Street, as we all know, likes certainty, and if it appears that Mr. Biden will prevail, then that gives a certain level of calm to the market. It is interesting, of course, that at the same time there is some concern about increased tax rates, but Mr. Biden seems to be indicating that that would apply only to people making over $400,000, which is in fact a very small percentage of Americans. The real question from my perspective is, will he increase taxes on business, and if so, to what extent? Nonetheless, the fact that Wall Street is going up, at least in part because of a belief that the election outcome is clearer, is a pleasant surprise. Prime Minister Trudeau announced that the border will stay closed until the U.S. gets control of COVID. Canada is also seeing a surge that is slightly less on a proportional basis, 60,000 over 350 million versus 4,100 over 35 million. Thursday evening was supposed to be the second presidential debate, but because the Presidential Debate Commission converted it to a virtual event, Mr. Trump declined. The candidates thus proceeded down their own town hall paths. One can only surmise that Mr. Trump did not want a virtual debate because that deprives him of his ability to interrupt, yell, bully, and otherwise be disruptive and unlikable. You think he would have learned after the last one and the reviews it got amongst non-core Trump supporters that it was obnoxious and inappropriate. In Thursday's Wall Street Journal, there was an interesting article by John Hilzenrath, who laid out a before and after COVID analysis of the economy. The general gist of the article was that prior to March of 2020, the economy was going extremely well, which it was. He also noted that the economy was doing well under the Obama administration, and that attempts by Mr. Trump to take sole credit are inaccurate. Trump offering inaccuracies? The article did tend to be more favorable to Mr. Trump, but it is the Wall Street Journal, after all. But on balance, it was a fair and fact-based article. It's worth the read, and I think it is particularly worth the read for those who may be inclined to dismiss the positive economic impacts from the Democratic side of the aisle. It is important to face reality, learn from it, and adopt some of the steps taken by Mr. Trump. Clearly, there are disagreements about the benefits of the tax cuts, and Mr. Hilzenrath concedes that. Governor Christie, on leaving the hospital after a bout with COVID, stated, quote, "I believe we have not treated Americans as adults who understand truth, sacrifice, and responsibility." He urged Americans to wear masks. Budget deficits tripled to $3.1 trillion. So much for a businessman running the country.